So I was going to talk a little bit about transitions, since, you know, we're leaving behind 2015 and heading into 2016, and, you know, they can be a little bit scary going from one year into the next, not sure what's going to happen. You know, we've seen a lot of ups and downs this year, and my family especially, we've lost grandma and grandpa, and, you know, we're trying to re-get back together, and, you know, Christians, we go ourselves a lot of transitions as well. I wanted to look at the children of Israel, and when they were leaving Egypt and going in a transition through the wilderness before they could actually reach the promised land, I kind of saw a parallel in our own lives as Christians. You know, Egypt is described as kind of the world, you know, this place that we were in bondage to that held us so tightly. And, you know, we were released from it by God, and now we're kind of in this in-between. You know, we're not a part of the world anymore. We're saved by Christ's sacrifice, but we're not home yet. You know, we're not in that new body. So we're kind of in our own little wilderness right now before we can reach our promised land. And things can get unsure out here, and things can be a little tough, but I wanted to look at that a little bit. And I was going to start in Exodus, actually chapter 16. Before this, the people of Israel, or the Jews, have made it out of Egypt, and I was just going to start in verse 2. The whole congregation of children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died in the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. And for me, that kind of spoke to me a little bit, because, you know, they knew they were no longer slaves in Egypt. They knew that they weren't owing anything to the Egyptian pharaohs and rulers. But they looked back on that and they were like, you know, at least we had food. We're out here in the wilderness. What are we doing? And so they just started complaining. And they were just saying, you know, you just brought us out here to kill us, God. Why would you do that? And some Christians, you know, will sometimes get that way. You know, we're like, well, yeah, you saved me, but now I feel like I'm, you know, not going the way I should be. I don't feel like I'm getting a lot of guidance. And I started feeling that way when I was, you know, moving away from God. It's like, you know, well, yeah, you saved me, but I'm not moving anywhere, I don't feel like. And so I was kind of wondering, like, will you complain knowing that God had promised you at home, that he's brought you out of something, and that you have something you're going to? Will you really complain about that? And will you really complain that you're not home yet, that you have to go through this wilderness? And to me, that just spoke to me. I moved on a little bit into Numbers 9. One of my things that I've noticed is I like to move around a lot in the Bible, and I notice some like to focus on one scripture and expand it out, but I like to focus on how the whole Bible teaches us one message. And in Numbers chapter 9, I was going to do verses 18 and 22. It said, And at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the command of the Lord, they pitched their tents as long as a cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And then in 22, or whether it be 2 days, or a month, or a year, the cloud tarried in the tabernacle, remaining therein, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not, but when it was taken up, they journeyed. And so to me, that kind of answered that question. It's like, well, are you really going to complain that you're out here in the wilderness? And God says, well, I'm not going to leave you alone out here. I'm not going to let you starve out here. I'm going to, you know, give you bread. I'm going to give you guidance. And so we're not left out here alone. We're not left out of here without guidance. You know, we're given that manna from heaven. We have our Bible right here that we can go to at any time. We have our elders in the church. You know, we have other Christians that we can speak with, and we can learn more about the word. And that's our cloud. You know, that's what's leading us forward. That's what's showing us where to be. And it says in here that, you know, that the cloud would stop, that it would sit there and rest on the tabernacle. And there are times where I feel like, you know, why aren't I moving forward? Shouldn't I be, you know, pressing forward? Shouldn't I be able to get to this person and convince them that God's real and they need to be saved? And sometimes God's just saying, like, just wait. You need to let that sink in. You need to let what you've learned sink in. You need to let what you've told them sink into them. It's not always time to move. You can't keep pushing forward. You can't keep just constantly learning all this new stuff. There's a time for you to reflect and to meditate on what God has taught you up to this time. You know, God always does stuff in his time. And, you know, I saw that here, and, you know, whether it's 2 days, a month, a year, the cloud tarried on the tabernacle, and thereon the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. And so, you know, that was when God, you know, tells you that, you know, however long I'm asking you to wait on me, you wait on me. And when it's taken up, they moved. And so when I'm ready for you to move, I'm going to show you the direction you need to take. Just two chapters over in 11, you know, it goes through at verse 4, chapter 11, verse 4, it says, "And the mixed and the multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? Remember the flesh which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." And to them, you know, they've been fed from God. They have this manna of heaven, but they're like, okay, where's the meat? You know, where's our other stuff? Where's our variety? And they started getting tired of God just giving them food that they didn't even have to hardly work for, that it was just out there for them to pick up in the morning, and they started complaining. And I get that we Christians sometimes will start getting there sometimes. You know, we'll be sitting there reading, and we'll be sitting there praying and being like, I'm not feeling a whole lot, and we're not understanding that it's a time for us to meditate, and that it's time for us to really do, you know, self, some introspection, and like to try to understand more about ourselves and our relationship with God, that we're not supposed to always be moving. And that there are times where we need to keep learning the same lesson over and over again. You know, we're getting tired of not getting all this variety. But sometimes that, you know, as Pastor says, that repetition is sometimes what we need to really internalize what God has for us. And I started seeing a pattern again where they're looking back at Egypt. And, you know, they're not talking about like, well, you know, we were in bondage and stuff. But, you know, we had fish. We had cucumbers. We had melons. So they started looking back at the past with kind of this sense of longing and this rose-tinted glasses where, you know, maybe things weren't great, but they were better than they are right now. And I know I fall into that pit as a Christian where I would look back and I'd be like, you know, times where I wasn't necessarily right with God, I would at least felt a little bit better about, you know, when I would mess up, it wouldn't hit as hard. When I didn't do what I was supposed to be doing, you know, it didn't hurt as much to not be at church. And, you know, we look back on that time sometimes as Christians and we're like, you know, I miss being able to do what I wanted to do and not feel anything about it. I missed, you know, not having God lead me and not have to listen to what he says. But we forget that those times weren't good times. You know, no matter how much we thought we enjoyed it, no matter how much we thought that those were good times, they weren't. We were in bondage. We were in servitude. We weren't our own masters. And we're still not our masters. We have a higher master serve, but he's a better master. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden light." And it really is. So we can't look back on those times as a time of joy. We have to remember they were a time of ignorance, a time where we didn't know what we were doing, and a time where even we still knew we were wrong. And so I was wondering, you know, will we complain that, you know, we're saved from our past and are given the bread of life? You know, will we complain that we've been brought out of this bondage, that we've been, you know, saved, and that, you know, we have the bread of life in front of us? You know, some people complain it's the same old thing from generation to generation, but that same old thing works. That same old thing has brought me to God, has brought everyone who's saved here to God. So that same old manna from heaven, it works just as well as today as it did back then. I went over again a couple of chapters to Numbers 13 and into to verse 27 of Numbers 13. And I'm going to jump around a few of these verses here. It says, "And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." And so to give a little backstory here, this is when they're getting right up to where the promised land is. They can see it. It's right there in the distance. And as Christians, you know, there are times where we can feel that, you know, heaven's right there for us. That, you know, there's moments where you can feel the Spirit and you can feel it flowing through you. And, you know, as a lot of people are saying, you know, we're getting closer and closer and closer to the end times. We know that it's just on the other side of tomorrow. And, you know, they're saying, like, it's right there. That's our promised land. It's right there for us. But we're going to have to go through some trial. We're going to have to struggle. And that's the thing, you know, sometimes we forget as Christians is before that we can go home, things have to keep waxing worse and worse. And they're going to keep getting worse and worse. And so we need to keep putting up with our struggle and we need to keep fighting the good fight. you know, I sometimes get where I'm at work where I don't necessarily want to talk to some of the people I talk to about Christ. You know, I don't want to always act like the good Christian who knows what he's talking about. To give a little bit of a reference, I actually had one of my friends that I talked to at work. She was like, oh yeah, you're one of those Christian people, right? You spoke once at the church. And I was like, yeah, I did. And she goes, well, do you know the Ten Commandments? And I started listening through them as best I could. And I managed to miss one of them, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. And now I will never forget it. But she goes, oh, wow. And she goes, so like, what do they mean? And so I went through each one and kind of explained like what it meant. You know, there's these ones, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. And then I had to explain, you know, thou shalt not covet. Like you can't go after stuff that other people have. You can't be like, well, why can't I have that? And be bitter and sore. And so I kind of explained it to her and she goes, so you like listen to this? I was like, well, yes, it's in the Bible. And that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And she goes, oh, you're one of those. I was like, what? She goes, well, you're one of those Christians. I was like, one of what Christians? Well, you know, the Bible-believing kind, the ones that follow God's word. And I was like, yes, that's what Christian means. You follow Christ in the Bible. And she goes, well, you know what I mean. I was like, I don't know what you mean, actually. And she kind of goes, well, I was like, well, what do you believe? And she goes, well, I'm a Christian, but, you know, I don't believe I have to ask Jesus to be saved. And, you know, I think if I'm good enough. And that's what I believe. I was like, well, you're wrong. And that's where I started being like, I don't know what I should do here because I don't want to offend her. And I'm sitting there getting on myself because I don't want to have to go through my struggle. Like, I know that if she dies tonight, that she won't be with us in heaven. And that's harsh for me. And I'm sitting there complaining, like, God, why do you got to put this in front of me at work? Like, I know I'm not supposed to do a whole lot at work. I can get in trouble for this. Why do you got to throw this in front of me? And I'm sitting there complaining when God's sitting there and he's like, I have rewards waiting for you. Like, just think, if you tell her and she believes, that's a Christian, that's somebody that you've helped bring to Christ. That's something that's great. And, you know, sometimes we as Christians, we'll get put in those situations where we're like, well, I don't know, I feel really uncomfortable, God. I don't know if I should really be doing this. And God's saying, just go out there and take it. I know you're going to have to struggle a little bit, but I have so many more rewards for you there. In verses 30 and 31, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. But the men that were with them said, we will not be able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So, you know, there are people like Caleb and people like Joshua who are like, yeah, I'm going to take it. You know, I know that it would be tough, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to get my rewards for God. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to bring people to him. And I knew a guy like that. You know, he was always like, you know, God bless you. And, you know, are you a Christian? You know how to be saved. And some people got really annoyed at him. But I thought he was the coolest guy in the world because he came in there and he didn't care. You know, he didn't let any of that worry him. And so to the Calebs and Joshuas out there, I salute you. You know, that can just go out there and that can just share the gospel and not feel, you know, not be worried. And I'm trying to get that way. And, you know, but there's people that are going to be like me somewhat, and they're going to sit there and complain and say, you know, we can't do this. We're going to get in trouble. You know, we're going to be seen as one of those hoity-toity Christians who just, you know, throws Jesus at everybody and throws the Bible at everybody when that's not what we're doing. They don't understand that, you know, we know what the path that they're on leads to, and we know there's a better path. We know there's a better way. In, you know, chapter 14, verses 7 and 8, it even says again, they spake all the company of children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is exceedingly good land, and if the Lord delight in us, we will bring it. He will bring us this land and will give us a land which floweth with milk and honey. And so they're sitting there like, you know, you can see it where God's giving you these promises, these gifts. Like, you know, I know it's tough to get up and to read the Bible and study it. I know it's not easy. I know that, you know, it's not easy to go fellowship with your coworkers and show them that, you know, there's a God out there that they need to trust and that, you know, just being good enough isn't good enough. You know, I know it's not going to be difficult, but just think. You know, I've prepared a home and a place for you and for anyone that you'll bring to me and show them that I'm there and I love them. If you'll just bring them to me, you can share it with them and I'll have rewards upon rewards for you. You know, you'll get the blessings from doing this. All you have to do is go out there and fight for it. And God will give it to you. He'll help you overcome. More along the same line over in Deuteronomy. Chapter 1 itself, in verse 21, it says, behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. In verse 25, it will say, and they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us a word again, said, it was a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of your Lord God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of Amorites and to destroy us. And, you know, this goes more along with that same thing where, you know, Moses is telling them that, you know, it's right there. It's just on the other side. All you have to do is go out and take it. But you would sit there and you would be like, we can't do it. That you're going to rebel against God and you're going to start murmuring. And I know I get that way. You know, I just said that for me, it's very tough when God puts that moment in front of you and for you to say, you know, all right, God, I'll do this on faith. You know, it may be a little tough. It may make our friendship a little awkward for a while. But I'll do it, because if they do accept you, it'll make our friendship just that much stronger. And he's saying that, you know, you murmured in yourself and you said that, you know, God brought you out of Egypt just to take you in the hands of Amorites and to destroy yourselves. And sometimes, you know, we're sitting there like, you know, God, why do you put this in front of us? You know, yes, I've been saved, but do I really have to share this with everybody? Do I really have to put myself out there? And, you know, God's saying, yes, I did this for you. Do this for me. You know, I didn't take you out of Egypt. I didn't take you out of bondage just for you to wander around. I have a plan for you. My design for you is to go bring more back to me, to show the world that I exist and I care for it. So we see the Jewish people right there on the edge of the promised land, but they just couldn't overcome the trials. They were too afraid, and it cost them like it cost me. They had to wander in the wilderness for another 40 years. And I had to wander alone in my wilderness for another 4 years. So, and it cost them the lives of the men who rebelled. And it cost me a lot of myself. So will you really complain that you have to overcome a hardship before you can come home? Before you can, you know, get to heaven, and you'll be able to point out, like, that's when I brought to Christ. And that's when I shared it with God about. You know, I may not have brought them to Christ, but I shared the gospel with them, and somebody else is able to get the reward later on. And you'll see friends, and you'll see family members, you'll see people that you passed in the street, and you'll be like, I helped out with that. And you'll get that blessing. But we really complain that right now you have to struggle. So I was kind of wondering, you know, who am I going to be? Am I going to be the 10 that saw all the difficulties and say, it's just too hard. We just can't do it right now. I need time to prepare. I need time to get better. Or are we going to look at it and say, it's right there. If God prepared it, we're going to take it and we're going to have it. And finally, when I was reading, I learned a little bit about some other people that went through their own wilderness. And this, we're going to bounce over into the New Testament. And in Luke chapter 24, I'm going to be starting in verse 13. To give a little backstory while everyone's turning, this is just a little bit after Jesus has died, and he's been dead and buried for 3 days, and he has just resurrected, and he's just, you know, the women just saw him, come before them and, you know, say, like, I'm alive again. The disciples just went to the empty tomb and saw that it was empty and were visited by the angel. You know, this has just recently happened. And we pick up here with these two people that were leaving Jerusalem. And behold, two of them that went that day to the village called Emmaus, which from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And so these men were in their own wilderness. They had just seen what they saw as the Messiah. They're like, our Messiah's back. Our king's here. He's going to lead us into a great people. And then he died. And, you know, they were confused because they were waiting for their king. They didn't know that he was coming as a servant first. And they were just, you know, they were in their wilderness. They're like, I don't know where I'm going now. I'm lost. You know, we're not where we were the other day. You know, we're not where we were before Jesus came by, because he said things and prophesied and it was great. And so, you know, we're a little bit better for it, but I don't know where I am anymore. And Jesus came up to them as a stranger, as someone they didn't know. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have to one another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering and said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? So he comes up to them, and he's like, you know, what's going on? Why are you all so upset? And they're kind of like, you don't know? Like, this has been a big deal. This Jesus guy just came through here, and he's dead now. We thought he was a Messiah. And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which is a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and to all people, and how the chief priests and our rulers had delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this today is the third day since these things were done. So too many times we look at it and we see what God wants us to do in the wrong way. You know, they're sitting there waiting for their king, their Jesus, you know, the king to come in and to take control and to rule. But instead, he came as a servant. And, you know, they were like, he's a great prophet. You know, he did a lot of great things. And, you know, it was hard for people to speak evil of him, but now he's dead. And we don't really know what we're doing. And, you know, sometimes we get that way. In my own eyes, I saw as what God was doing was a mistake. That, you know, God wanting me to be up here was just not right. That maybe he just wanted me to get back with him and start reading again. But that's not what God had planned. You know, it's too many times we try to presume upon God. We try to figure it out for ourselves. We don't let God teach us and show us. And for me, that was this. You know, up here, I'm very, very nervous. I don't feel like I speak very well in front of people. I feel like I mess up a lot. And I didn't feel like this was something that God wanted me to do. But God says, I have a plan for you. I'm going to get you through this. You know, Moses had his Aaron. I'm going to fix you up. And I was like, all right, I guess so. So in here, we have Jesus showing up as a stranger and them kind of explaining to Jesus who Jesus is. And down in 25, he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scriptures things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went to tarry with them. So that's when Jesus, you know, we'll have our revelations. When I had mine was, you know, God saying, like, stop trying to figure this out for yourself. I will show you. I will, you know, if you'll wait on me, if you'll take your time when I stop moving and say, just be still and just meditate and just listen, I'll show you when to move again. I'll show you where you should have been. And Jesus goes, you know, all right, you guys just, you messed up. We're starting all over. And he starts back with Moses and the prophets, and he explains all of this. And he shows them that Jesus had to suffer. He had to come as a servant to bring us back to where we needed to be. And sometimes for us, that takes us going back to square one. Sometimes we need our stranger to show up. God will, you know, he'll do some things that are magnificent and huge. You know, for me, it was that moment when I could feel God's presence telling me, like, will you wake up and listen to me? Because you're not. And sometimes we'll have smaller moments where we start reading a little bit and we start learning a little bit and small things will start showing up in our path. And it'll be by a stranger, by somebody we're not expecting these things to come from, by a circumstance which we don't expect for it to happen, that we'll realize we need to stop and we need to start over and we need to look at ourselves. And starting with Moses and the prophets, explain all things concerning himself. So sometimes we need to start back over, you know, where it all began and get back with God. And it goes on with, after they had sat down and he was sitting with them, it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, and took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. They knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose into the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told them things that were done in the way, and how he was known to them by in breaking of bread. So this is when we'll have those moments of after we've stopped, after we've had our moment with a stranger, this, you know, where we weren't expecting where God to come in and teach us to start over, that we'll all of a sudden realize, like, it was there all along. You know, that we'll find those spots where that was where God was trying to show you, like, are you listening now? Are you ready now? Let's move forward. And so that's when, you know, we'll have that moment of the pillar coming up off the tabernacle and saying, all right, move. And as soon as they realized, you know, that it was Jesus with them, he vanished. He was gone. And, you know, sometimes we'll have those moments where as soon as we realize what's going on, you know, that's when God's saying, like, all right, I've prepared you. I've, you know, it's time for you to move. I'm going to pull back a little bit, and I'm going to watch you. I'm going to have a test for you, and you're going to have to go out and do this on faith with everything that I just taught you. And this is where Jesus, you know, disappeared from them. Like, he, you know, he will never leave us or forsake us, but sometimes he'll say, now it's time for a test. And the teacher may be in the room during the test, but he's not giving out answers. You have to figure those out for yourself from what you've studied. And so, you know, that's when they were like, we got to go tell everybody. And that's kind of that thing, you know, that I need to work on sometimes, is when Jesus pulls back those blinders and said, hey, you were listening. Good job. Now start, that I get up and start. You know, and it was saying, you know, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. So they turned around. You know, they were leaving because they were downhearted and they were coming out of where they should have been. And God stopped them and said, turn around, go back. Go tell everybody, I'm here, I'm alive. And they ran around doing that. And so I think that's one of those things that we're going to see in our own wilderness, that we're going to come out of these times of bondage, and that we're going to, you know, we're going to fall, we're going to mess up, we're going to have our troubles, and God's going to pull us out of it, and we're going to have our times of doubt in our wilderness where we're not saying, like, I'm not really sure if I can make it through this trial, God. I'm having difficulties. But God's like, I'm right there. I'm leading you. It's okay. And we'll have our moments of our stranger, our thing that God's, you know, slowly guiding us, slowly showing us the way when we may not exactly see it. And then we'll have that big reveal moment where all of a sudden it's like, no, I was right here the whole time. You know, I'm right there with you. And we'll realize it. And that's when we'll come to our promised land of, you know, that moment. That moment of, this is when I'm going to give you a reward and your bounty. Now go forth and go do what I've taught you. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about with our transitions, is going into this new year, we need to look at it not necessarily as another trial, another struggle to overcome, but another chance to go in and seize our promised land, another chance to go through our wilderness to prove our mettle and to say, we did it, we listened, we followed, and our reward is right there. And that's what I wanted to leave with y'all.